ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creations, Chapter 17, The Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son, Verse Number 24. Adite Disthitam Garbham, Bhagavantam Sanatanam, Hiranyagarbho Vijnana, समीदे गुह्य नामिभि। अदितेर अधिष्ठिम गर्भम भगवंतम सनातनम हिरण्य गर्भो विज्ञाय समीदे गुह्य नामिभि। अदितेर अधिष्ठितं गर्भम् भगवन्तं सनातनम् हिरण्यगर्भो विज्ञाय समिदे गुह्य नामभि। अदितेर अधिष्ठितं गर्भम् भगवंतम सनातनम हिरण्यगर्भो विज्ञाय समीदे गुह्य नामभि। अदिते दृष्टितम गर्भम भगवंतम सनातनम हिरण्यगर्भो विज्ञाय गुह्यनामभि। अतीते अधिष्ठितं गर्भम् भगवन्तं सनातनम् हिरण्यगर्भो विज्ञाय समीदे गुह्यनामभि। अतीते अधिष्ठितं गर्भम् भगवन्तं सनातनम् गर्भो विज्ञाय अधिष्ठितं गर्भम् भगवन्तं सनातनम् हिरण्यगर्भो विज्ञाय समीदे गुह्यनामभि। माताजी, वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। अदिते, इनटू द वूम्ब ऑफ अदिति, दिस्थितम, बीइंग एस्टैब्लिश्ड, गर्भम, प्रेग्नेंसी, भगवंतम, अनटू द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, सनातनम, हु इज एटर्नल, हिरण्यगर्भ, लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा, विज्ञाय, नोइंग दिस, समीधे, ऑफर्ड प्रेयर्स, गुह्य नामभि, विथ ट्रांसेंडेंटल नेम्स, Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When Lord Brahma understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was now within the womb of Aditi, he began to offer prayers to the Lord by reciting transcendental names. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead exists everywhere. Andantarastha Parmanu Chayantarastham. Therefore, when one chants his transcendental names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is automatically pleased by such sankirtan. It is not that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absent. He is present there. And when a devotee utters the transcendental name, it is not a material sound. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is naturally pleased. A devotee knows that the Lord is present everywhere and that one can please Him simply by chanting His holy name. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 17, Verse Number 24. Translation. When Lord Brahma understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was now within the womb of Aditi, he began to offer prayers to the Lord by reciting transcendental names. Hare Krishna. So, we have been reading this section of Srimad Bhagavatam wherein Mother Aditi is performing payovrat process to please Lord Vishnu. And after the successful performance of payovrat process, Lord Vishnu is pleased and he appears to Mother Aditi and responds to her prayers and desires that yes, I will solve your problem. I will come as your son. And then Mother Aditi worships her husband Kashyap Muni. And the Lord, he comes within the body of Kashyap Muni. From there, he transfers himself to the womb of Aditi. This transfer of the Lord from Kashyap Muni's body to Aditi's body is not a material phenomena. It's not by sexual activity. This is transcendental phenomena wherein the Lord transfers himself by his own sweet will. It is not by the force of some material energy or by force of semen getting transferred from Kashyap Muni's body to Aditi's womb. That's for ordinary souls. Even in Mathura, when Krishna appears, he appears in a similar way. He first takes shelter in the mind of Vasudev. From mind of Vasudev, he transfers himself to mind of Devaki, and from there he goes in the womb of Devaki. And on an appropriate day, from womb of Devaki, he appears outside the womb. And that is called Janmashtami, birthday. We celebrate birthday of one who is never born, unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, his appearance day. So Lord Sri Krishna performs such transcendental leela. He could have directly appeared in front of Aditi. Why this womb business has been between? Because when Lord performs pastime, he makes it resemblance of normal human activities. The reason of this resemblance is that so that people appreciate, people connect, people relate to Krishna's pastimes. Another reason is by this he gives opportunity to his devotees to express their love. He is giving Mother Aditi an opportunity to express her vatsalya. He is giving Kashyap Muni an opportunity to become his father. So Lord Sri Krishna does all this to fulfill the desires of his devotees. He becomes hungry so that Yashoda Maiya can feed milk. He becomes hungry not because of influence of bodily requirement. He becomes hungry because Yashoda Maiya has a desire to feed her milk, to feed her breast milk. To fulfill Yashoda Maiya's desire, he expresses hunger. Yashoda Maiya has a desire that I should chastise and improve my son and make him better. To fulfill Yashoda Maiya's desire, he expresses naughtiness, he expresses fear. This is all to fulfill her desire. So many pastimes of Krishna is to fulfill the desires of devotees. Otherwise, for him to take care of Bali Maharaj, all this play is not required. Or for him to take care of Hiranyakashipu, to come from a pillar and in a unusual form of half man, half lion. Actually, just to fulfill the objective of killing Hiranyakashipu, that's not required. Vishnu is staying in the heart of Hiranyakashipu. From inside, he will block his artery and he will get heart attack and he will die. This external game is not required. But why did he appear? To fulfill the desire of Prahlad Maharaj, who said Vishnu is everywhere, even in the pillar. Why he appeared in an unusual form of half man, half lion? To fulfill the word of Brahmaji, who said Hiranyakashipu can be killed only under these conditions. And why did he protect Prahlad Maharaj? To fulfill the word of Narad Muni, who told Kayadu, Prahlad Maharaj's mother, that don't worry, your son will be protected. So to fulfill the desires of devotees, Krishna exhibits so many pastimes. So much so that he is sitting in the womb of Aditi. Nobody would like to do that. If anyone was given an option to go back in the womb of our mother, would we agree? Based on the knowledge we have, we will say, no, I want liberation. Even those who don't have knowledge outside, if they are given this opportunity, they will say, next life I want to be born but without womb. 9 months waiting period I don't want. Fast delivery. Because staying upside down in a small bag is really suffering. The child becomes unconscious so many times. Nobody wants that suffering. But Lord Vishnu, he comes in the womb of Aditi to fulfill the desire of his devotee. He comes in the womb of Devaki. So they get an opportunity to become mother, to express their vatsalya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sitting in the womb. That's inconceivable. Once Devaki in Dwarka, she asked a question to Krishna, Dwarkadish Krishna. She said, my dear Krishna, tell me one thing. I have heard that all these big, big universes, including this earth, sun, moon, planet, mountains, oceans, forests, globes, stars, all these gigantic, big, big universes are in your belly. Krishna said, Haji, yes, correct. Then Devaki has next question. So then how come you are in my belly? That's not easy to conceive. Because Devaki is in a universe. Universe is in Krishna. Krishna is in Devaki. How will this happen? Who can explain this? No scientist, no logician, no leader, no thinker, no scholar can explain this. This Divya, this transcendental, this is inconceivable. So when Lord Brahma comes to know that now the plenary portion of Lord Vishnu is in the womb of Aditi, he comes. He is very happy that now an incarnation is there in my universe. And he is going to do his pastimes. It's like the president or the prime minister comes to your city or your state. Then the head of the state, the chief minister, the governor, they all will be happy to welcome him. They or their representatives will be on the airport to receive him. So in the same way, the Lord has appeared in the womb. So Brahma comes. Indra, Shiva, Varun, Vayu, Agni, all the great demigods, all the devotees, they are very happy. When Krishna appeared in Mathura, every single living entity in Mathura and Gokul was very joyful. Suddenly they felt joy in their heart at night 12 o'clock. The citizens, suddenly they felt joy in their heart. Just because Krishna appeared. The moon in the sky was so joyful that it became full moon, Purnima. Even though that is Ashtami. That day was Ashtami, not Purnima. Moon is not supposed to be full. But that day moon became full. Why? Because moon was very happy. Krishna is coming in Chandravamsh, my dynasty. So the demigods become very happy. Even devotees, when Janmashtami day comes, we become so happy. Janmashtami is coming. Nice decoration. We get new clothes and nice sweets and nice wonderful program. Abhishek and kirtan and dancing and seva. And lakhs of people come here. And they are there till night 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Janmashtami night 2 o'clock here, devotees are dancing. Public is pouring in. They are so happy and joyful. So Krishna's appearance, or here Vamandev's appearance, is so joyful. So Lord Brahma takes this opportunity to come and offers his prayers to the Lord inside. The Lord who is inside, Lord Brahma says, you are everywhere. He is inside, but he says, you are everywhere. When Krishna, after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was going back from Hastinapur to Dwarka, he came out of the palace of Yudhishthira Maharaj and he was on the chariot, and all the five Pandavas and Kunti Maharani and other family members, they came. Some came to tell him bye-bye. Some came to tell him don't go. So they came there. And Krishna is smiling. And suddenly Mother Uttara Mata, she comes running to Krishna because there is danger. Ashwathama had shot a Brahmastra in the womb of Uttara, targeting the womb of Uttara. The Brahmastra will go in the womb, destroy the embryo and go back without disturbing Uttara, without destroying Uttara's body. Uttara was pregnant and Ashwathama shot a Brahmastra. Parikshit was in her womb. Uttara came running to Krishna and said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, you are most powerful. If you wish, my Lord, please protect my child. Let this Brahmastra kill me. No problem. But let my embryo be protected. The five Pandavas are there. Dharamraj, the king Yudhishthira Maharaj is there. Most powerful Bhimsen is there. And such a great warrior Arjun is there. Nakul, Sahadev are there. Another great warriors. They are Uttara's husband's father, Arjun. Uttara's husband is Abhimanyu. And father is Arjun. They are supposed to protect Uttara and Uttara's pregnancy, but she didn't approach them because she knew they will not be able to protect. She approached Krishna. She requested Krishna for protection. Krishna is on the chariot smiling, and Uttara approaches, and Krishna protects without getting down from the chariot. She approaches Krishna who is on the chariot, and Krishna is also as Paramatma in her heart. That Paramatma responds. From the heart of Uttara, Paramatma goes to the womb of Uttara. And in the womb of Uttara, with the help of Sudarshan Chakra, Lord Vishnu covers the embryo with his Shakti. Then the Brahmastra comes inside the womb, comes in contact with Shakti, Sudarshan Chakra, and gets neutralized. And the embryo is protected. Krishna protected Uttara without lifting a finger, without moving from his chariot, inside only. Then the question is, why Uttara came running to the chariot? In the room only she would have told Paramatma and finished the game, na? Why did she come running? In the room she could have told Paramatma, please protect. And Krishna would have done that also. But when Uttara runs to Krishna on the chariot, this increases the intensity of dependence. This increases love. And Krishna likes that. Krishna likes that. When we run to Radha Raj Bihari, depending on him, in a crisis, we increase our intensity of dependence, he likes it. Even if you don't run, he is going to help you. Early morning, he gave sunlight. Anybody asked? Yesterday night, my Lord, tomorrow 6 o'clock, sunlight I want. He gave oxygen. He gave food. Everything is anyway giving without asking. So why he will not solve our problems? Last 40 years he gave prasad. Today he will not give. Today also he will give. So why I have to worry? Last 40 years he gave, today he will not give. I'll have a problem. My boss, I'll have to please him. I have to lick his feet. He'll give a check, then I'll eat. If Krishna didn't want to give me, he would have not given me yesterday. Why he waited for today? So it's not in the boss hand or check's hand or bank's hand. So when we depend on Krishna, when we increase our dependence on Krishna, that means we are advancing in spiritual life. Spiritual advancement means increasing our dependence on Krishna. Not just increasing our years in ISKCON. When we increase our years in ISKCON, that's called seniority. It's very easy to be a senior devotee. Very easy, just be there. After a few years, you become a senior devotee. But to increase our dependence on Krishna, we have to do some struggle. We have to do our sadhana. So then Krishna responds. So Mother Kunti, she was surprised. Then she prayed. She said, "You are inside or outside?" Uttara prayed outside, but she received help inside. You are inside or outside? That is the question, million-dollar question. And what is the answer? Both. He is everywhere. Vasudevam sarvam iti. Bahe Narsingha, Hridaye Narsingha. Inside also, outside also. Krishna is all pervading. Krishna is cause of all causes. Krishna is source of everything. He is everywhere, even in an atom. He is not just in this heart, he is in every cell of the body. He is in this glass, he is on this table, he is in this flower, he is on the floor, he is in the mic, he is in the pillar, he is in the sky, he is in everywhere. Krishna is everywhere. One who understands this, his surrender will be 100%. He will be most satisfied, peaceful person in this world. Krishna is everywhere. All pervading. Vasudevam sarvam iti. This is highest culmination of knowledge. To understand Krishna is everywhere. We walk on Krishna, we sit on Krishna, we sleep on Krishna. There is no, Krishna is never absent. Even if you are alone in the forest, where there is nobody, you should know you are not alone. Krishna is present with you. If somebody has that conviction, he is qualified to take renounced order of life. He is qualified for sannyas or brahmacharya life. When he knows that when I am alone, I am not alone. I am never alone. Krishna is always with me. Wherever I go, Krishna is present. Such a conviction will help a person to be a real renunciate. In the absence of such conviction, the person will start finding dependence on other items or other people, and that will compromise his path of truth. So, Vasudevam Sarvam Iti. And this Krishna who is everywhere can be assessed not assessed, accessed by the holy name. Like signal is everywhere, but by the antenna we access, we receive the data. In the same way, Krishna, we can receive him by chanting the holy name. Namabhi, guya means confidential. Guya means transcendental. So Lord Brahma is praying to Krishna, praying to the plenary portion of Krishna, Lord Vamandev in the womb of Aditi, by reciting his transcendental holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. This chanting of holy name is so powerful process that when we chant the name of Krishna, this name is not a material sound. This name is transcendental. We come in contact with Krishna. Even though my tongue is material, even though the sound frequency is material, even though the sound wave is material, even the air, the medium in which this wave is traveling is material, but the sound in itself is transcendental. Just like this book, the page is material, the ink is material, but Bhagavatam is transcendental. Do we call this book material? No. But if I give a bottle of ink and a page, empty page, what do you call? Matter, material. But same when combined in form of Bhagavatam, say transcendental. So in the same way, Krishna, the holy name, the sound which we are hearing, Krishna, is transcendental. And very powerful. There is, in Narsingha Puran, there is a story of a malech. Malech is a person who eats meat, not even Shudra, worse than Shudra, malech, yavan. So this person was going from his village to another village to meet his friend, and in between there was a forest. While walking in the forest, one wild boar, he attacked this malech and killed him with his horn. This malech was dying with great pain. So he abused the boar. He said, haram. There are two words in Urdu, halal and haram. Halal refers to pious activity or good word. Haram is abusive word, condemned. So he said, haram to the boar. He abused, condemned. And he died. Next life, he got liberated. He went to Vaikunth. Because at the time of death, he said Ram. He spoke the name of Ram. Even though he said Haram, even though he referred in a negative way to the boar, even though he didn't refer to Lord Ramchandra, but he got the benefit of chanting the holy name at the time of death. That is power of chanting Krishna's name. That is the power of chanting Krishna's holy name, Lord Ram's holy name. Even if somebody chants jokingly or indirectly or teasingly, they will get benefit. If somebody says, ye Hare Krishna wale bevkoof hai, pura din Hare Krishna karte hain, they will get benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. If a brahmacharya is walking on the street and says, hey, dekho, ye takla Hare Krishna wala ja raha hai, they will get benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. Jokingly, teasingly, they will get a benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. Even if the syllable of the names are separated from each other, but they are present in a word, like some wife tells her husband, aaj rajma banaya hai. Husband mother, roz roz rajma banati hai. Gas hota hai, kuch aur bana nahi sakti kya? Wife says, rajma hi tha ghar pe, aur kuch nahi tha. Rajma. Ra is there and ma is there. In between, ja is there. But still, they get benefit of chanting Ram. That is the power of Ram. Somebody says, mera makan dadar mein. Mera makan bahut sundar. He gets the benefit of chanting Ram. Mera. Then there is a space. Then there is makan. Ra, space, ma. He gets the benefit of chanting Ram. This is so powerful. Chanting the holy name indirectly, when vibrated with separated syllables, or when vibrated with some other syllables in between, or with a pause, or jokingly, or indirectly, or teasingly, unknowingly, with a very different intention, one gets benefit of chanting the holy name of Krishna. Still, if people don't take up chanting the holy name of Krishna, they are most unfortunate, foolish, fool number one, murkha, mudha. Such an easy process. So we should chant the holy name of Krishna. We have example of Haridas Thakur, who is from a Muslim community. But he would chant 3 lakh holy name every day. That means 64 rounds, plus 64 rounds, plus 64 rounds every day he would chant. 1 lakh holy name means 64 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's why his Namacharya Haridas Thakur. And this Haridas Thakur, once while walking, traveling, he came to a village called Chandanpur, where Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, used to stay. And they were wealthy, rich, what we call today is filthy rich, equivalent to Indira today. They were so rich. They were staying. Their priest was Balram Acharya. And Balram Acharya was very fond of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was very fond of Balram Acharya. So when Haridas Thakur arrived in the village, Balram Acharya was so happy. Immediately he arranged a small kutiya, small hut on the bank of the river, and requested Haridas Thakur, please stay in this hut. Every day I will bring dabba. And Haridas Thakur was very happy staying in the hut, every day chanting 192 rounds, taking bath in the river, and Balram Acharya bringing prasad. What else you require in life? Nothing. Everything else is optional. If you have a hut, river and prasad, that's done. Just chant Hare Krishna. She was happy. Balram Acharya would sometimes come, take association. Villagers will come, sit and chant with him, ask questions. So nice, everything was nice going on. So one day Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, they had a house program, satsang in their house. and there was no ISKCON center in Chandanpur. So they told Balram Acharya, is it possible that we request and invite Srila Haridas Thakur to please come and grace the occasion? We will be very fortunate. It will be very nice if he comes for satsang. Balram Acharya said, I will ask. So very humbly he went to Haridas Thakur and shared that the Majumdar family is inviting you for satsang. Would you please come? Haridas Thakur said, okay. Sometimes house program, okay. So on the day, everybody was sitting, the panditas, the senior citizens of the village, the family members, Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, they were all sitting. Haridas Thakur came. Everybody paid obeisances to Haridas Thakur, offered a raised seat, and everybody started glorifying Haridas Thakur. That Haridas Thakur is a pure brahmachari and he is a very great Vaishnav. Every day he chants 3 lakh holy names. He hardly sleeps. He hardly eats. He hardly does any social activity. Just 2 hours he gets to bathe, sleep, eat, rest all day he chants. So they started glorifying Haridas Thakur. And eventually, as it happens in a meeting, the agenda gets changed. So they started glorifying the holy name. From Haridas Thakur, they started glorifying the holy name. The holy name is very powerful. The holy name is very auspicious. And one person said, by chanting holy name of Krishna, all your sinful reactions are eradicated. Pap nash. Another person said, by chanting the holy name, you get liberation. Haridas Thakur stopped, said, wait, stop. This is not the real benefit of chanting the holy name. This is not the real purpose of chanting the holy name. The real benefit of chanting the holy name is you get Krishna Prem, love of Godhead, Pap Nash, eradication of sinful activity, and liberation from fruitive activities, karma phala, is a secondary effect, is a corollary effect of the primary process of chanting the holy name for Krishna Prem. And a sincere person, without offenses, when he chants the holy name, he gets Krishna Prem. And the symptom of Krishna Prem is he becomes mad. In a mad way, he sometimes sings, he sometimes loudly chants, he sometimes cries, he sometimes dances. He doesn't care for people around him and sometimes raises his volume, sometimes keeps quiet and he chants the holy name of Krishna. Very difficult to identify a person mad in love of Krishna and a person mad because of 3 modes of material nature. We had an episode today in Mangala Arati. So that's the real primary effect of the holy name. Haridas Thakur said, and he said, just as when the morning sun rises, before the sun rises, there is some light which we call twilight. All the fear of darkness goes away. And when the actual sun rises, we do our ordinary activities, normal routine activities. In the same way, before even Shuddha Naam is chanted, the shadow of the holy name, all these secondary effects happen. Liberation happens, Pap Nash happens. But when actual pure holy name is chanted, we do our normal activity, which is to constitutionally serve and love Krishna. The audience were very happy. They requested, please explain this verse.
Haridas Thakur explained that early morning, before the sunrise, actual sunrise, when there is some light in the sky, the darkness goes away. The fear of thieves, the fear of ghosts, the fear of robbers, and the fear of owls go away. And a person wakes up. And when actually sun rises, we do a normal activity, bathing, cleaning, eating, working. In the same way, Naam Abhas, the twilight, the shadow of the holy name, when appears in our heart, the anarthas go away, pap nas, the eradication of sinful activities happen, fruitive activities are eradicated, fruitive mentality is eradicated, violence is eradicated, duplicity is eradicated, demigod worship is eradicated, lust, anger, greed, etc. is eradicated, sense gratification is eradicated, material desires are eradicated, etc., etc., etc. But that's not the real show. After that, when a person chants purely, pure holy name, then Krishna Prem is expressed. And the person performs normal activities. What are normal activities of the soul? To serve Krishna, unalloyed, transcendental, loving, devotional service to Krishna. So the holy name is supposed to give us this Krishna Prem. We are not supposed to chant for the smaller things. That is anyway happening. Bonus pagar. That's not the main salary. The main benefit is Krishna Prem. And all the audience were thrilled, just like now we are thrilled to hear this. We are thrilled? Yes, audience were thrilled. But there was one Brahmana, young Pandita, scholar, handsome, Gopal Chakravarti. He couldn't digest this. Now he was a very important member of Majumdar's staff. He would bring 12 lakh gold coins annually. Good performance. Very important member. So he asked a question. Not a question, he just commented. He said, look this emotional fool, saying that one holy name will give you liberation. Big rishi, muni, yogis for thousands of years doing tapasya in the forest, they are not getting liberation. You sitting at home chanting Hare Krishna will get liberation? I don't agree. Haridas Thakur said, why you don't agree? This is written in the scriptures. The scripture says that even Naam Abhas, even the shadow of the holy name gives liberation. I am quoting scriptures. Gopal Chakra said, no, I don't agree. You prove this to me. Haridas Thakur said, you can't understand the mercy of holy name by logic and argument. Logic fails. Argument fails to understand transcendental phenomena happening in our heart, transcendental transformation happening in our heart by chanting the holy name of Krishna. This knowledge is revealed by submissive service attitude, not by logic and argument. Gopal Chakravarti didn't agree. He said, I challenge you. You prove to me that one chanting of holy name will give liberation. If you don't prove, I will cut your nose. Gopal Chakravarti challenged Haridas Thakur. Offensive challenge. Immediately the audience got disturbed. And they pointed to Gopal Chakravarti, you rascal, you badmash, you challenging such a pure soul, you will not have a bright future. Should beg forgiveness. And some audience left the place because we should not hear offense. Majumdar family were chastising Gopal Chakravarti. Said, terminated. Your job terminated. We don't want your job. 12 lakh gold coins we don't want. Get out from here.
Haridas Thakur pacified everybody. He told Gopal Chakravarti, I accept your challenge. If by chanting one holy name, a person does not get liberated, I will myself cut my nose. Challenge accepted. By the time most of the audience left, and the Majumdars, they kicked out Gopal Chakravarti. Then those who were family members, they all offered obeisances to Haridas Thakur, full dandavat pranam. He said, please forgive us. We called you to our house for satsang, but in our house such a big offense has occurred. It is very inauspicious. A sadhu should not be offended. Vaishnava apradh is very, very grave. What to speak about? Any guest in the house should not be insulted. What to speak about Vaishnava? What to speak about a sadhu like Haridas Thakur? We do not have right to hurt anybody, to insult anybody, to be violent on anybody. We do not have that right. Or criticize. We should just perform our duties. So Majumdar begged forgiveness, Balram Acharya begged forgiveness, the family members begged forgiveness. Haridas Thakur was not disturbed. He said, don't worry, it is not your fault. It is not Gopal Chakravarti's fault also. He is a logician, he doesn't understand the transcendental holy name. He didn't take offense. Haridas Thakur did not take offense. And he went to the place. The nature of a Vaishnava is, he doesn't remember. He keeps forgetting if anybody offended him. The nature of sadhu is, he forgets if anybody offends him. The nature of Krishna is, he never forgets if you offend his devotee. Krishna never forgets. So after 3 days, when Gopal Chakravarti was in the village, people saw his nose melted, his ears melted, the front part of his fingers, of hands and legs melted, and he was dying of this disease, leprosy, where his body parts were melting. Very painful. Such a handsome, beautiful body, everything was melting. And people understood the power of Haridas Thakur. That this person offended Haridas Thakur, and this was the result. Haridas Thakur came to know that Gopal Chakravarti's body is melting like this. He didn't like it. He left the place and went to next village. So Haridas Thakur is Namacharya, the professor of the holy name. So powerful. Chanting the holy name is so sublime. So chanting the holy name of Krishna means we directly come in contact with Krishna. That is absolute nature of holy name. Understanding and realizing this, that holy name is non-different from Krishna, is called Shuddha Naam, is called chanting on pure platform. And this can happen only with a bona fide service attitude. Without submissive service attitude, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot come to this platform of Shuddha Naam. Just because I have a bead and I have a tongue which can vibrate and I do that, but I don't have a service attitude, then we will never come on the platform of Shuddha Naam. Mechanical chanting is not the way. Internal service attitude is the way. So with service attitude, with feeling of dependence on Krishna, we chant the holy name of Krishna, then we realize that holy name is non-different from Krishna. That is the platform of Shuddha Naam. And chanting Shuddha Naam is the goal of life.
When we chant with offenses, then our material desires are fulfilled. We don't get Krishna. If somebody does Mangalarti, he chants the holy name, he follows four regulative principles, he performs devotional service, he pays obeisances to Krishna for material desire, Krishna immediately gives material desires. Achha, wa mujhe to nahi manga, saste mein kaam ho gaya. Because all this process of pure devotional service can conquer Krishna. And Krishna becomes controlled by the devotee. Krishna has to dance on the finger of a devotee. But if that person, instead of asking Krishna, he asks a material desire, Krishna says, good bargain. Good bargain. So we should not cheat ourselves. Others will not know, but Krishna knows. In Vrindavan, as a small boy, Krishna would stay in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and the elderly gopis would come. And they say, Krishna, look this laddu. You want laddu? Krishna will say, yes, I want laddu. Say, then dance. Then Krishna will dance. And they will clap, smile. And after the dance performance is over, they will break the laddu into two and give half laddu. And Krishna will eat. Then say, Krishna, you want this half laddu more? He said, yes. Then dance more. And he will dance. Master of universes. He has less talk of laddu in Golok Vrindavan. He has so much laddus of all varieties. Why dancing for half a laddu? Because there is love. He becomes controlled by love. But if we want something else, then we are wasting our life. Then we are following a very nice process improperly. So the goal of life is uninterrupted, causeless, unalloyed, pure, transcendental, loving, devotional service. So our regular practice, which should be with a very nice service attitude, seva bhav, that yes, I want to please Krishna. That's my goal of life. Not please my senses, my desires, my ambitions. No. That's within the three modes of material nature. So an activity within the three modes of material nature cannot help us to elevate out of three modes of material nature. We remain inside the modes. Thus that's mixed devotional service. Devotional service in mode of goodness, devotional service in mode of passion, devotional service in mode of ignorance. That's mixed devotional service. That doesn't give us Krishna. Pure devotional service is uninterrupted attraction towards Krishna. So our sadhana bhakti, the founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada has given us a process to come to this platform of pure devotional service. So we follow the full package, we follow the full process. We follow 100, out of 100%, 90%, 95%, but 1 or 2% we leave thinking that's not essential, then we will not get. We follow the full process. All principles of Srimad Bhagavatam we follow. We don't follow selected principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. Rest our three modes will contribute to our lifestyle, to our decisions, to our habits, to our actions, to our thoughts. Then we are still under the three modes. We follow all the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. We live a life centered around principles, not centered around desires or sense gratification or ambitions or material objectives. Then we achieve Krishna. So every devotee should try seriously, put sincere efforts
to practice pure devotional service. That's the purpose of ISKCON. That's the purpose of this organization. That's the purpose we are here together, to grow in spiritual life. Okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, yes, mic please. Hare Krishna. I can't hear.
Thank you for this wonderful class on the holy name.
Hare Krishna.
Which is very much required on an everyday basis. You said this point where what is the qualification of a renounced order of life, which is that we see Krishna everywhere. We never feel alone. But like we see that if that realization is not there, and someone has taken the renounced order of life, so is this hypocrisy, or that now because you know he has a desire to renounce or accept renounced order of life, and he's working on sadhana bhakti level, and one day by Krishna and Guru's mercy he will realize this fact?
Yeah, so somebody who is not on that platform and he is practicing sincerely to achieve that platform, that's fine. There will be a struggle in life, but with that struggle he will grow. So a person in renounced order may be a practitioner, may be an expert, or may be a seeker, or may be a successful performer. All four are in renounced order of life, but they are on different stages. So somebody who is a practitioner, if he publicly claims, I am a successful performer, that's wrong. That's hypocrisy. Somebody who is practitioner and he claims, I am a practitioner, struggling, that's not hypocrisy. That's honesty. So hypocrisy means inside and outside is different. Inside I don't have conviction on Krishna, but outside I show that I am a great, having great firm conviction. So that's hypocrisy. But inside I don't have 100%, externally also I am saying I am vulnerable, I am not 100% convinced, I am trying. And I hope to achieve it by the process, by the mercy of Guru. So that's genuine, no problem. Is that okay? So anybody who is not on that platform, wants to achieve that platform, is also called renounced, but in a different stage. Like the first day I go in engineering college, ask for admission, and the last day I am in engineering college, the first day also I am student and last day also I am student, but there is a very big difference. The first day I don't know anything about engineering. The last day I think I know something about engineering. There is a very big difference, but both are students of engineering, right? So practitioner, seeker, practitioner, and finally successful expert and successful performer. So generally sannyas life is full-fledged renunciation. Brahmachari is practitioner who is under a sannyasi who has that conviction. So he is protected, he is sheltered, he gets guidance, and eventually he becomes a sannyasi who is a successful performer. Is that okay? Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the nice class.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, you have said that increasingly becoming dependent on Krishna is actual advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now I need to understand how do you know I inculcate that in my daily life, because whatever I do in my daily life, I always think that I am doing it. You know, it's me. It's me entirely who is responsible, who is doing everything. So how to understand that? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, how to increase our dependence on Krishna in daily life.
Yeah, because I believe that whatever I'm doing daily in my daily life, it's me who's doing actually, and there's no help from Krishna actually. I'm doing it. I feel like that.
So when we perform our actions, the results of action is not in our hand. Action is in my hand in a limited sphere. But the result of action is not in my hands. So first point, I perform my action, but the result, I am dependent on Krishna. Second point, that action should also be dependent on Krishna by doing only those actions which are told in scriptures by Krishna. So when I am performing my duties as per Srimad Bhagavatam and waiting for the results from Krishna, then in action and results, both I am dependent on Krishna. For example, I need food. So I open a shop and I wait for the customer. Customer comes and buys, dependent on Krishna. Opening shop, my action. So result, I am dependent on Krishna. Whether the transaction happens successfully or not, I am dependent on Krishna. I just present my product honestly. Now opening shop also we should be dependent on Krishna by opening only those shops which are permitted by Krishna. I don't open cigarette shop, I don't open beer shop, even though that is much better product to sell in the community. I open only those shops which are authorized in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I am taking a decision of action based on Srimad Bhagavatam. That's dependence on Krishna, that if I follow Bhagavatam, I will get result. And for result also, I am depending on Krishna, whatever He gives. So every single activity we do, every moment of life should be as per Srimad Bhagavatam. And whatever result we want is dependent whether Krishna gives or not gives or gives in a different way. So we don't do anything away from scriptures. That's dependence on Krishna. We wait for Krishna to give results. That's dependence on Krishna. Is that clear?
Just one more question. How to remove the element of pride that I am doing it? So whenever we perform any action, there's element of pride within.
Brahma, Lord Brahma asks the same question to Krishna. How to remove pride? What happened is, after the creation of Brahma, Brahma was meditating on the lotus flower, Krishna gave four heads and the full realization of Vaikuntha, Golok Vrindavan. Brahma did tapasya and Krishna became so happy, he came and shaked his hand. Hey Brahma, good boy, shaked his hand. Brahma was surprised. He said, you are my creator. You are creator of all the universes and you are treating me equal, shaking hands with me and you are telling me to create. I will become proud of the creation. So I will not create unless you solve this problem of pride. This is the original problem of pride. And the original solution was given by Krishna. That's called original verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, four verses in second canto. The essence which Krishna says is to Lord Brahma, I am beginning, I am middle, I am end. I am everything. Vasudevam sarvamiti. So we should know whatever action I am doing is also because of Krishna. Krishna has given you sunlight, Krishna has given you moonlight, Krishna has given you oxygen, Krishna has given you air, Krishna has given you earth, Krishna has given you body. That's why you are able to perform an action. Can our eyes see if there is no light external? No. If there is dark room and I have a very beautiful eyes, lotus petal like eyes, can I see anything? No. So the dependence is on sunlight to see, not just on my eyes. It is wrong to think I have eyes, that's why I can see. To see, I not only I need eyes, I am dependent on sunlight. And sunlight comes from Krishna. To hear, not only I need ears, I need ether, the medium from which sound travels. To smell, not only I need nose, the fragrance travels in air, I need air. Right? To touch, not only I require skin, but I need an object on earth. So everything I am dependent on Krishna.
How can I say I independently performed an activity? More than that, Paramatma is sitting in the heart. Without Paramatma's permission, we can't lift even this glass. I am lifting this glass and I am keeping it. Again I lift, again I keep. 10 times I do, but I am not doing this. The desire to lift glass is in my mind. Mind cannot go out and lift. The desire goes to intelligence. Intellect takes a decision to lift or not. But that decision, whether it deserves to be lifted or not, Paramatma sanctions. So when Paramatma sanctions the desire, Paramatma controls intelligence and nervous system, not the soul. And Paramatma gives signal to the hand to lift and keep. The day I don't deserve my last life's karma, say I have only 2 lakh movements of this hand. And 2 lakh times I move, including lifting the hand, glass. The day I don't deserve, I get paralysis attack. Same hand, same me, sitting on same Vyasasana, this hand will not move only. I say, kya ho gaya? No movement. That's called paralysis attack. Because I don't deserve to use my right hand. So who decides this? Not me. It's Paramatma. So every single movement of the body is controlled by Paramatma, not by Atma, not by soul. Soul has no control over even your bathroom. Soul has no control whether the nails will grow or not. Who wants nail to be grow? Nobody. You have to sit and cut. Why don't you control it? Hey nail, aase nahi. From today don't grow. I tell you, okay, you are mine. Any control? Beard. Every time shaving. Why don't you tell your beard, hey, don't grow. Remain clean shave like Rajiv Gandhi. No, every time you have to brace. We don't have control over bathroom, we don't have control over nail, we don't have control over hair, and we want to control the world. You are for a big loss. Right? So everything is done by Krishna. We should know this. Okay? Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Your lecture is very helpful for me, but I am in one trouble. Please clear me. There are some devotees who is very poor and want to financially strong. So
wait. Yeah. Repeat.
There are some devotees who is very financially poor and want to financially strong because he want to going up pilgrimage place and taking prasad and whatever. So you want to financially strong and more than the strong to for taking on name of Krishna. So then the devotee pray to Lord Rasbihari, Radha Rasbihari ji, I want a financially strong and I want to do your bhakti. So what is that a financially strong? It must, it's material desire? Yeah, what?
Okay. A devotee is not financially strong. He is poor. And he wants to become financially strong, and he prays to Radha Rasbihari that please make me financially strong so that I do bhakti. Question is that material desire? Yes. It is a material desire. At the beginning, a person may go to Krishna for money, or because he has distress, or because he is curious, or because he has knowledge. 4 types of devotees go to Krishna. This is material desire, but no problem. Krishna likes them. For any reason you go to Krishna, Krishna says, wow, good boy. Aya to sahi. Right? So, 4 types of people go to Krishna with this material desire, but that's welcome. No problem. So, if the devotee wants to pray to Krishna for becoming rich, no problem. Tell him to pray. Tell him to come to Krishna. It's not highest. It's not highest, but it's not wrong. It's not highest, but it's not wrong. Is that okay? No problem. Pray to Krishna for anything. You want to become rich, you want to pass your exam, you want to marry, you want to get a job, your wife is troubling you. Whatever reason, you pray to Krishna. At least pray to Krishna. Find a reason to pray to Krishna. Highest is Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Jagadisha, Kamai, Mama Janmani, Janmani, Ishware, Bhavatad, Bhakti, Ayetu, Kitvai. Highest is no wealth, no money, no post, no prestige, no follower, no beauty. Highest is that. Only your devotional service. That's highest. But this is not sinful, this is not wrong. You can go to Krishna, no problem. Don't go to neighbor. Shiva, Brahma, Durga, Ganesh. No, go to Krishna. Right? If a wife wants sari, she should go to husband. If she doesn't go nice, husband is not disturbed. But if she wants, she should not go to neighbor and say, I don't want to disturb my husband, please give me sari. No, husband will not like. Said, "Arey, bhai, chahiye to maise mango." See, my our neighbor is there, Lord Shiva. Our husband will not like. Go to Radharas Bihari. Please give. He will give. Okay. Any more questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guruji.
Hare Krishna.
You said that one has to take the name of the Lord in Seva Bhav. Now, could you elaborate that Seva Bhav? What do you mean by Seva Bhav? What does that Seva Bhav means? To be only dependent on Krishna, or how to serve Krishna, or what is that Seva Bhav?
Just like a servant in the house. His whole existence and activity in the house is to obey and please the master. So our life should be such. Our whole day, whole existence, all activity should be to please Krishna. So whatever activities we are doing, we should know. If it is pleasing Krishna, we should do it. If it is not pleasing Krishna, we should not do it. And that we can understand under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. If we please the spiritual master, we are sure Krishna is pleased. If the spiritual master is not pleased, Krishna is not pleased. So we should ask the spiritual master, we should learn from the spiritual master, we should inquire from the spiritual master, what will please you? And in ISKCON, there are various spiritual masters who follow the order of Srila Prabhupada. And they will say, if you get up early morning, take bath, attend Mangala Arati, Tulsi Aarti, Narsingha Aarti, chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on beads minimum, Shingar Aarti, Guru Puja, class, 4 regulatory principles, offer and eat, do deity worship, pay obeisances, do book distribution, assist in the mission of preaching, have honest income, I will be pleased. So whole day we do that. What a servant does. Servant whole day, when you are in the office, you are in Seva Bhava. You are mentally ready that whatever my boss says, I will do. As soon as you enter the office, you are with that attitude. Our boss jo bolega kar lega. Right? So we should be with that attitude 24 hours. Servant. Seva Bhav. So our chanting in the morning or any time in the day, but service attitude should be 24 hours. Not just during chanting we are thinking I am servant, after that I am boss. So this service attitude should be visible in our actions. We are ready to do service. That service attitude will help us to develop pure chanting. In the absence of this service attitude, whole day I am thinking myself as an enjoyer, that chanting will be very shallow. Is that okay? Okay, thank you. Yeah, there was a question behind. Please pass over the mic.
Oh. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, Rajma, Mera, this is Bhagavan's name. Rajma and log word, this is Bhagavan's name. So, what is the benefit of this? Yes, it
will be a benefit.
ऐसे तो बहुत लोग नाम लेते हैं
तुमको फायदा होता इसलिए जिंदा है अभी भी भगवान का नाम बहुत शक्तिशाली है. दोनों अक्षर अलग अलग हो गए लेकिन एक ही शब्द में रहे तो फायदा होता है. ओके, एनी मोर क्वेश्चंस?
Jai Shri Krishna. So in your recitation you mentioned that Thakurji never forgets, and you also gave an example of the leper. My understanding is God is always forgiving, and that's the universal truth. So God can never be someone who remembers and is revengeful. Can you just clarify on this, please?
Yeah. What I mentioned is that if we offend a sadhu is one whom Krishna loves, that sadhu will forget, but Krishna will not forget that you offended my dear one. It is not revenge. It is Krishna's love for us that he gives us punishment so that we get rectified. Otherwise, material nature, Yamraj will give us punishment. And that will be too much. So if I offend a sadhu who is dear to Krishna, actually I offend Krishna. Because that sadhu is sitting in the heart of Krishna. So I hurt Krishna. So Yamraj will give punishment. Krishna gives punishment to rectify us. So if we offend Krishna, he will forget. That's up to him. But if you offend a devotee, he will not forget because he loves his devotee who is only dependent on Krishna. It's like this, if you go to a person and slap him, he may forgive. But if you slap his child who is very small baby in his lap, he is not going to forgive because he loves the baby.
But the action of offending that sadhu is also an action that is influenced by Krishna himself.
No, Krishna doesn't tell you go and slap a sadhu.
No, it is, he is the karmadata. No, he is the one who is influencing our thought, words and deeds.
He is cause of everything. At the same time, we have a free will. And we use the free will in cooperation with him. That's called dharma. We misuse the free will. That's called karma. And that karma becomes karma phala, gives a phala. Every action has equal and opposite reaction. So I do anything nonsense and say, he is karma data, he told me to do it. That is not proper. I go and slap this boy and say, look, Krishna, Radha Rasberry told me. Huh? Then I give another, he told me again. Huh? But no, I use my free will. Why will he tell me to slap somebody? Violence is not acceptable. Right? I am just using an example, don't worry. So we have a free will. If we don't have a free will, then there is no difference between me and this table. Table also doesn't have a free will. I also don't have a free will, so I am a stone. But that's not true. I am a conscious living entity. And I have free will to make a choice to love Krishna, a choice to cooperate with Krishna, and a choice not to cooperate with Krishna. Is that okay? Any more questions? Yeah, time is up. Last question. Mike.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you have said about living our life should be on the basis of principles, not on the desires. Please, a little elaborately, can you explain to me?
Early morning alarm rings, 3:45 a.m. What is the desire? Again sleep. What is the principle? Wake up, take bath, come for Mangala Arati. So decision should be based on not desire, but on principle, on knowledge, mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Somebody gives you food. What is desire? Eat it. What is principle?
offer to Krishna and then honor it. So decision should not be based on desire, it should be based on principle. So there are principles. Somebody insults you, what is desire? Beat him up. What is principle? Tolerate it. So decision should be based on principles, not desire. Honesty, self-control, peacefulness, cleanliness, truthfulness, humility, tolerance, wisdom, these are principles. Violence, duplicity, speaking lies, all these are material desires, negative things. So our life, our decisions, our habits should be based on principles, not desires. Is that okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Shrila Prabhupada ki.